All right. Anybody not have one of the handouts? That may need one?
I think everybody should have one already.
Oh, I guess the one that had all the questions on it from the last time.
And make sure we speak loudly. All right, so Psalm 119 and 67. Did I say it wrong again?
No.
Make sure we got this down. All right. Hello, Miss Carmen.
I just feel on you.
Tell my coach what's wrong. Don't be shy.
And by the way, if you guys think we are moving slow, we are on purpose. I'd much rather have good discussion than just to move through material very quickly. Anybody can move through material quickly. Discussion is actually what helps us out more so than just the material. So we are on purpose going slower than normal because I like to ask a lot of questions. How many got caught with this little bug that's going around, a little virus?
What is the virus?
I don't know what it is. It's getting everybody sick.
Strep.
It's got something to do with throat sicknesses.
Yeah, my daughter, Crystal, she's like, she can't breathe and she's sneezing and drinking all kinds of medicine and still.
Yeah, something going around. It's in the throat, mostly in the head. Yes.
I went through the last couple of weeks and Shane got bad. He's been skipping school. Thursday and Friday is really, you know, I don't know what it is, stomach flu and vomiting and,
really?
And all this stuff.
Maybe
so
that's what I mean.
Yeah, so my husband stayed home Friday all day, just came up off school Thursday, Friday, don't go to school. And he was okay, you know, when we come in Wednesday night, but after that, I woke up in the morning, it was really something about going on the flu season with this, get the head, stomach, and mine just, you know, but now it's clearing up. Thanks God, I
praise God. Well, Isla was doing a lot of that too, throwing up and head and coughing. So, amen. All right, well, let's look at our verse here, Psalm 119:67. Let's quote that together because that's going to go hand in hand with what we have been covering thus far. And so, for those that have to look at it, you can look at it. Very, very good scripture reference. To keep in mind when tough times come, because it could factor in what God is actually doing in your life. Now, I'm not saying always, but sometimes it is a good factor. So, Psalm 119 and 67, let's say that. Psalm 119, 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy law. Oh, they were. Psalm 119:67. Amen. Word, law, amen. Father, thank you once again for the law that you've given us, Lord, the word of God, to keep us where we need to be and to keep us where we need to go. Lord, instruct us in our marriages, instruct us in our own personal lives to do that which is pleasing in your sight. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide, direct, and lead us in this discussion this morning. We thank you so much for loving us, being a gracious God toward us, Lord. Pray for your hand to be upon those that are out today that are ill, caught up with this sickness. Lord, those of us that are here, help us to go on persevering in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Looking at this first block of questions that we looked at, and it said the problems could be to direct us. Now, why am I saying in marriage? Because it says at the bottom of page 7, first to direct us. And I put in problems in marriage to direct us. Why are they not saying in here that this is a problem in marriage? Why are they just saying just to direct us in general? Why would they say that as opposed to not being specific in marriage?
Because we need instructions and teaching on how to deal with our problems.
Okay, we need instructions on how to deal with our problems. Okay, mm-hmm. Amen. Anybody else? Why does it not say in marriage? Why does it just talk about an individual? Any insight into that?
Do we all have our own will?
We all have our own will, that's true.
To decide what we want to do, where we want to go.
That's true. And you're on the right track.
Okay.
You're on the right track.
Can you explain where, I'm not understanding.
Okay, the whole lesson here, although this is a marriage class, we're talking about problems in marriage, why doesn't it say problems in marriage? As opposed to just saying problems, it says problems in general.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So all sin comes short of the glory of God. So all of us are sinners, so we're all gonna go astray.
Yes, we are all gonna go astray, amen?
Regardless if we're married or not.
But there's a key issue that we're missing here, yes?
We have free will to choose.
We're on the right track, we're on the right track.
Because it has to deal with us individually.
Individually, there you go.
Thinking like, wait.
There you go. And now, as individuals, you may have a problem and your spouse may not have a problem. But if you as an individual have a problem, guess what? Your spouse has a problem. Because what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. The twain are no longer twain, but one flesh now. So it's talking about a problem in general, but because you're married, your spouse now has inherited that problem. And guess what? If you got kids, your kids inherited that problem too. So when you look at this, you know, here, it's speaking very generally. But we've got to put that in marriage and say, okay, I may not have the problem, but my spouse may have the problem, or my children may have this problem. And if they have a problem, guess what? I have a problem, amen? So the first one is that problems in marriage may be to direct us, or problems in life may be to direct us. And so we are on page 8 now, and the halfway down it says, Paul says God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh. I left you guys with a question. So let's read through that. Paul says God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming arrogant. Or of course, we know that's prideful. God knew Paul was going to be the greatest of all the apostles. Through Paul's 3 missionary journeys and his writing 13 epistles that make up almost half the books of the New Testament, he would do more to spread the gospel than anyone else who ever would live. Therefore, God uses Paul's thorn in the flesh to direct him away from pride and arrogancy. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 12 and read that. 2 Corinthians 12, and look at a little bit of Paul's life. And this is the question that I left us with last week. What may God be doing in your life? Or what may you be prideful of? Because Paul here says, you know, he was being lifted up. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. Who's got those verses there? You can read that for me. 12. Go ahead, Rose.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. Such as one caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man with how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such and a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be full, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And thus I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Okay, so Paul says, you know what? One day God gave me a vision. He gave me a revelation of some things that were going to be. And he said, he let me see a glimpse of glory. And he said, you know, to keep me humble, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And so all throughout Paul's ministry now, he's got this thorn in the flesh that he is ministering with this thorn. And he's got to serve God. And the question I left you with is, what might God do to you because of your pride or your arrogancy about something? Or what might you be prideful of? What can we be prideful of in our marriages? What is there in our marriages that we can be prideful about that we can maybe have to get a thorn in the flesh? Yes? Maybe one more spiritual than the other. Okay, I can get puffed up about that. Amen. What else? What can I possibly be prideful about in my marriage? Yes?
Be like, because Paul's witnesses any kind of disease or things. That
false witnesses?
Yeah, his witness. You know, like if you know, if the turn of the place, like if I'm weak or thing, something like that with my flesh, that's part of it. You know, just bodily, you know, weakness.
But would we wouldn't be proud about that though, would we? hopefully not.
For me, you know, when I went for this, according for his on 12, Second Corinthians 12:7, for that to see the turn was whatever it was, but some kind of, I don't know, like severe abuse. Sometimes, you know, when we try to do on ourselves, the turn of the face, you know, so for my first, that would be, you know, weaknesses, like in the place that, you know, I'm weak, I'm not strong. It could be like I'm sick or whatever.
I'm sick?
Yeah, like I'm always, sometimes person always been, you know, come with sicknesses or some kind of issue of disease mm-hmm. of the body, so okay. I don't know.
Well, I would hope we wouldn't be proud about that, though. But that could be an issue, though. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Carmen?
Like, a spouse, like, your spouse have a better job than you do. You know, you're making more money.
That could be something. Yeah. That could be, you know. Say, for instance, Brad makes $500,000 a year, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Linda could say, aha, you know, Brad makes $500,000 a year, you know. And Michelle, your husband only makes $400,000, so we're $100,000 better than you, you know. And that could be something, you know. What else could I be prideful about in my marriage? Maybe children. My children get straight A's and your children don't. You know, my children are better athletes, your children not. Brad, you want to introduce this to you guys?
Yes, this is Tim. Tim? From California, a Marine up there, and so he's come by to visit us.
Who?
Childhood friend of Linda's.
Tim, amen. Now there is a singles class if he wants to go in there, but he's welcome to stay in here with us. We're going to talk married stuff in here. So. Okay. Amen, amen. Okay.
Prepare you.
Yeah, prepare you. Amen. So it could be kids. It could be a job. I've got a better car. It could be I've got a better house. I'm more spiritual. Yes.
Proud that you have a great relationship.
I could be proud to have a great relationship, you know, and men, all of us should be proud in this fashion. I've got a great, gorgeous wife.
Amen.
My wife is better than your wife, you know, and that's a good pride that we should have, one that's a good thing. So my wife is the most beautiful woman on the planet Earth. Every husband should think that in his heart, amen. You say, why? And I'm not talking about beauty on the outside, because beauty is skin deep. I'm talking about the total woman,
yeah.
Amen. Not from here up, but from here, not from here down, but here up. wrong, amen. Who is she? What kind of woman is she? You know, so every one of us should have that. That sense of good pride in that respect, okay? So there are things that we could be proud about. And so if God is using a problem to direct us away from pride, we have to understand, what could I be proud about? Maybe my body. Maybe I've got more muscles. I'm stronger, you know, or something like that, you know? So those are some things to look at here, because Paul said that he was given a thorn in the flesh because of his pride, or you know, so he wouldn't be lifted up. And we have to really keep that in mind. Notice the next block there. It says, God often uses problems to direct us away from sin. What would have been Paul's sin? Pride.
Pride.
It can be to direct us away from someone who may be a temptation, or to direct us away from a bad decision. So God can use a situation like that to lead us away from someone or some situation. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, he says, but now have I kept thy word. Notice this, on a regular basis, we should pray Psalm 119:35 in regard to our problems. Let's look that one up. Psalm 119:35. Because if Paul had his pride and his arrogancy, don't you know that we have some things that we're prideful of as well? And if we're proud of that thing or prideful in that thing, God sometimes has to direct us away from that thing. Somebody read Psalm 119:35. Who's got that? Go ahead, Rose.
Make me to go unto the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight.
Now, why would he say, make me to go in the path of thy commandments? Why not? Why don't I go on my own? Because he said, therein do I delight.
because our own selfish way is not going to give us joy.
Notice how it reads. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. He says, I like it, but I need you to make me go in
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Now, what kind of sense does that make?
A lot.
Okay. Go back up to verse number 10. And notice what he says there. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He lets us know that, man, I like this, but I know I'm prone to wander.
Right.
You know, that we're sheep. Sheep are prone to wander. And so he says, I need you to make me do this. Yes.
It's kind of like going to the gym. It's like sometimes you just dread going there. But once you get there and you get on that treadmill and get on the weights, you just feel so great.
That's a good
analogy.
You
have to force yourself to get into it. But once you know it's good for you, but you know you don't want to have to make the effort.
And that's a good analogy. It's always better after it's over. You say, man, I'm glad I did it. Amen. But looking at it, it's like, man, I really don't want to do this, you know. And so that's a very good analogy, Mark. I like that. So he says, make me go in the path of thy command. Lord, I need you to force me to go this way. Basically, shut other doors off. And sometimes to shut doors off, God's got to give us affliction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Because we know what we should do. And he says, therein do I delight. So Lord, I need you to force me in this direction. And so we're supposed to write that down there in your own words. Come down here now, since problems then can direct us away from sin or someone or some temptation. Number two is going to be now to inspect us. So problems in marriage can inspect us. Now, I like this analogy they use down here. Someone has said Christians are like tea bags. What happens when you put a tea bag in hot water? Right. The color starts coming out and it actually adds the flavor in that. What happens when you put it in cold water? Tea bag.
Nothing.
It says, someone has said Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what's in them until they get in hot water. And I love that statement. That is such a good statement. Now, before we go on, let's ask a question. I wrote a question down here. Marriage can be viewed much the same way I said. What hot water do some marriages find themselves in? Think about your marriage being the tea bag going down in the water and it shows your colors. What hot water can your marriages be put in? Mark?
Financial situation.
Finances, one of the top ones on the list. Finances and sexuality are two of the most common ones. What other hot water?
Jealousy
is another one. What else?
I was gonna say in-laws.
In-laws is another one. There's a top 10 list, and that those are on the top 10. What else?
How about cheating?
Infidelity, that's another one on the top 10 list. Problems in marriages.
Children.
What hot water? Children, that's another one I've got down here. That's another one.
Careers,
competition. Mm-hmm. Husband makes less than the wife. Now the husband doesn't feel like a man because she makes more money than he does. What else? I got some down that I know y'all not gonna say.
The loss of just losing somebody. Grief.
I do have that one on my list. Past trauma or present trauma. Something traumatic that happened in my childhood. That's hot water.
Piggyback on that is like a miscarriage or a pregnancy, either one.
Mm-hmm. Someone desires to have children and cannot or loses several children in the process. We had that ourselves. Here's another one, closed areas of the heart.
Oh, yeah.
Get the hot water coming in, somebody clams up, close up, they don't want to talk about it. Another one, not showing love. Mm-hmm. Everybody shows love differently.
Right.
And so I get into marriage, I get in the hot water, and one doesn't show the love the way they should. Bad communication. I don't communicate effectively. We're going to talk about that tonight, as a matter of fact. Here's another one, child rearing differences. Okay, my wife and I have a difference in some areas in child rearing, amen, and we're coming together on some of those issues. And so financial debt, infidelity, some others, some marriages find themselves in this teabag effect. And look at it this way, we inspect our kids when they do chores, don't we? We inspect their clothes before they go to school to make sure their clothes are clean. We inspect their grades. We inspect our fruit before we buy it. We inspect our cars. We inspect our own clothes. We inspect our bill statements to make sure we're not paying something else. How about our marriages? Do we inspect our marriages? And so this one says, problems in marriage could be to inspect us, to show us where we're at or where we're not at. So problems actually then can be that which is going to be the inspection. How many of y'all like going to missions? I hate it. Because I know they're always going to try to pick and find something wrong. I'm like, the car runs, let that be enough, amen. But they're trying to keep the road safe. You go into the garage, and Bruce would know about this, and if your tires are below tread, they will not let you go unless you get new tires, because you're a road hazard. The tires on the side of the road, amen, that could be avoided. So they, by law, they are not going to let you go unless you buy some tires. So you're like, I don't want to go in there because I know I need tires, you know. And so I'm going to put the spare on there, you know, and get done, amen. So when you look at this, problems, notice what it says here at the bottom. Problems are really just tests to reveal what kind of Christian, or I put down marriages, we really have, and to prepare us for heaven. So problems then not only can direct us, but they can inspect our marriage. Where are we at? We're in a tea bag now. We're in the hot water. By the way, when the going is good, marriages always normally are good. It's when the hot water of life comes up. That's when you kind of have to find out, okay, what's going on here? Where do we stand? What's going on? How are we going to communicate? How are we going to do this with the children? How are we going to do this with each other? How are we going to do this bill? How are we going to do this, that, and the other? When the hot water comes up, that's when it's pushed to the test, okay? So notice what he says, and Peter writes, we're going to have manifold temptations in 1 Peter 1:16. The word that translates temptations means putting to the test. Let's go over to 1 Peter 1:6. I said 1:16, it's 1:6. By the way, how many of y'all like problems? I don't think anybody likes problems. But what do we seem to have almost every day of our lives?
Problem.
A problem. And they're there to direct us and also to inspect us. 1 Peter 1:6, who's got that? Can read that for me? Mark, go ahead.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Amen. He said you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, meaning you've got a bunch of different temptations or tests that you're facing right now. And these Christians here were facing these temptations. The word heaviness there has it with the idea of crushing. Crushing. How many of y'all ever crushed something? You know, I mean, boom. When you crush that, I mean, it's flattened out. Sometimes problems can do that to us. We feel just flattened out. I mean, like, I mean, the way the world is on us. And so Peter says now, hey, we rejoice in being saved, according to verses 3, 4, and 5. That's great that we're saved. He said, but all that right now, in this season, at this time of life, we're going through a heaviness, through a bunch of trials. But notice verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And of course, many of us already know that when gold is purified, they put it through the fire to refine it. And so it is with our marriages. Our marriages are going to go through fire to see what type of marriage we have, what caliber it is, what quality is it, what pressures can it stand against. By the way, the world is full of pressure, and it's going to bring on your marriage. And the marriage that has a good foundation in the Word of God has the basis to stand. The couples then that have the Word of God saturated in their lives will have the ability to stand. The couples then that have the Spirit of God working through the Word of God that's saturated in their bodies will have the foundation to withstand the pressures that the world is going to bring on you. Because the world is going to bring pressure on you, and they're not going to apologize. Not at all. The world is wicked, the world is evil, and there's sin out there, amen, but we have a greater God in heaven that is able to help us sustain. Amen. But the Bible lets us know we're going to have problems, that they're going to come. But the problem then is just to test our faith to see what it is. Now, I got a question. What may God be showing us in our marital problems or progress? If we know we're going to have these temptations, these testings, what may God be showing us in our marital problems?
How to do things better.
How to do things better. Okay, what else? What may God be showing us?
That there is a problem.
That there is a problem. Some folks like to stick their head in the sand and say there is a problem. Men, we're notorious for that. There's not a problem. It's okay. I mean, the house is falling down. Well, it's not falling down, it's just shaking.
That's my asthma.
Then when it falls down, it fell down. Whatsoever will we do? Well, you could have shored it up before that when it was shaking. So, you know, men, we're notorious for that. We want to avoid the problems, but you can't. You can't. You got to face it. You got to face it. I praise God for my wife. She makes me face a lot of things that I'd be like, it'd be all right. You know, but sometimes, it ain't going to be all right unless we face it. Amen. And she stays on me, and I appreciate that. Amen. What else? What other problems? Yes.
How do I trust and lean on the Lord more?
Amen. How to trust and lean on the Lord. By the way, can you change your spouse?
No.
You can't change them even if you try. You can bribe them, but that's still just bribery. That's not change. And as soon as your funds wear out of what you bribed them with, whether it's chocolate cake or whatever, guess what? It ain't going to stop.
I know where that goes. I got the same bank account. That ain't going to help.
So you can't change somebody, amen. But yet and still, you're going to face a test. What else? What may be the test showing us? Yes. Need to get on our knees. Amen. I was just watching a video last night. It says when you have these problems, kneel. Kneel. Get out and pray. Amen. What other problems may be showing us? I got down. Maybe our faith needs refining.
Yes.
Maybe we just don't trust God enough with whatever it is. Uh-huh. I've got down. Maybe it's to see how real our trust really is. Uh-huh. How are we really going to trust God with our spouse, with our marriage, with this problem? I'll see how we can trust God to move in our mate's life or our child's life or the problem without having to try and go and do it and fix it ourselves. I was reading Psalm, what song is that, honey? 18. David said, in my distress, I cried upon the Lord. In the commentary I read, he said, how many times do we say, in my distress, I fixed it myself.
Yeah.
I tried to fix it myself instead of crying unto the Lord. So that comes with it. So verse 7, if you're going to fill that in, is to maybe to see if my faith is real. So we'll bring praise, glory, and honor to Jesus when he returns. That you could write something down like that. Or you could say that, you know, God sends us through these tests so that my faith is tried and found to be pure. So anything like that, it says, then what does he tell us if the purpose of our problems is in 1 Peter 1:7 being? So you write something down there. Notice the next paragraph. Peter compares the testing of our faith through problems to the refining of gold in his day. Gold is heated, impurities float to the surface, and can be skimmed off, leaving only pure gold. In the same way, the heat of problems in our lives causes our impurities and defects to come to the surface. Now, with that said, how might our marriages be refined then? If this is the case, if this is what God is going to use, if he's going to use the heat of problems, how might our marriages be refined? And what heat might he apply to our marriages? Anybody?
I think just to help us go through that, for the communication to open up, to turn to him, and make you stronger in your relationship.
Make you stronger? Okay. Let's use some for instances. For instance, if I've got financial debt in my marriage, that's a problem. What could that be showing me?
You better fix your finances.
I better fix my finances. Maybe I'm spending more than I'm actually bringing in. Or maybe I'm credit card happy, buying on time. Yes?
Might be showing you that God gave you a wife so that she can help you fix that.
Exactly. If it's infidelity, what might infidelity be showing? Husband or wife has been unfaithful. What might that show? Somebody needs attention. Somebody needs attention. Somebody's not doing something, because the Bible says that we have a spouse so that we don't defraud each other, so we don't go outside of the marriage relationship. So if infidelity is the case, then somewhere along the line, somebody is not getting their needs fulfilled intimately. And that's a potential problem. Now, that is a problem now. My marriage would need to be refined. I've got to go back and investigate. What am I as a husband not doing, or what am I as a wife not doing that causes my spouse to go elsewhere?
or to look like pornography, or to whatever, you know, go to peep shows, or, you know, go to strip clubs, or whatever. Why is, you know, she going to Chippendales, you know? Why? She shouldn't have to do that. I can chip the Dale all she wants, amen. You don't have to do that, amen. Right, y'all know what Chippendales is? Let me know what Chippendales is. Male strippers? You know, guys have theirs, gals have theirs, amen. So as we're going through the gold impurity process, we've got to ask, okay, God, now I've got a problem in my marriage. What is it showing me? What do I need to put attention on? Maybe it's time management. Uh-huh. Maybe it's child rearing. Maybe it's being a keeper at home. Maybe for a husband, it's showing love to the wife. But whatever it is, if a problem is beginning to creep in, it could not only be just to direct me, but also to inspect me, to show me where I'm not. Okay? Notice as the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. So we may not even recognize our own impurities when they surface. And so if we don't recognize it, how are we going to find out? Pray. Okay, so that's one good way. How else are we going to find out? If my heart is deceitful, I may not see it, notice it. How am I going to see it in my marriage?
By being in church.
Being in church, okay, that's a good one.
In the Word.
Your wife will know.
Was it wife? Sometimes your spouse can see it. Your spouse can say, "Hey, I've noticed this," or "I've noticed this." Now I can say, "Oh boy, I didn't know that was a problem."
Sometimes too, we tend to look at the other spouse and not see. You're eager to look at them and say, "You're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing that. Hey, well, what about you?"
Amen. Amen. And that's the beam and the moat analogy. You can't get the moat out of this person's eye when you got a beam in your own eye. And otherwise, you got things that you need to deal with, but you're trying to pick up this little bitty thing in the next person. So we should always be frequent inspectors of ourselves. How are we going to be a frequent inspector of ourselves if the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked? Being in this Word every day. The Word of God will direct us and inspect us, because I may have the beam in my eye. It may possibly be me. I may be like the disciples, "Lord, is it I?" And he's like, "Thou hast well said." Amen. So that is true. Notice it says that, therefore, when we have problems, we need to pray the prayer found in Psalm 139:24. So let's go over that one. Psalm 139:24. And this is a very, very good prayer to pray, but you must be warned. God knows when you're sincere and when you're not. If you're not sincere, don't even pray, because he's not going to even touch you. And it says down there, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Now, by the way, does God know your heart?
Yes.
Does God know your thoughts?
Yes.
So who is that for?
Us.
We're saying, "God, tell me what you already know about my heart and my thoughts. God, relay that information to me. Tell me what you already know. Let me know that you know this." You know, reaffirm to me your omnipotence, your omnipresence, and your omniscience, because, you know, I think I'm playing the shell game with you. You know, and sometimes don't we think we're playing the shell game with God? Let's be honest. Sometimes we do. "God, you don't see. Oh, God, you don't know this. Okay, God, look at them. Don't look at me right now." And we think we're getting away with something. God must sit there and say, how many of you ever watch your kids doing something, they didn't see you doing it, and you're just sitting there like, Sometimes I catch Joshua. He's doing something he shouldn't be doing. I'll come in, "What are you doing?" I just scared him to death. I said, "What's the matter?" "You scared me." I said, "Why did I scare you?" "Because you snuck up on me." I said, "Could it possibly be because you was doing something that you wasn't supposed to be doing?" Bless his heart. I will scare the pants off him sometimes. And he's actually like, "I don't see." It's like, "Joshua, I got eyes. I got four of them, as a matter of fact." He's like, "Come on now." So he says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, we've got to have an open heart for that, to say, "Okay, God, if there is something wicked, show me." Okay? Wicked means out of the way. It's crooked. It's not straight. It's not on God's path. And so, God, show me that. But then show me how to get back on the path of everlasting life, the way that I'm supposed to go, the way of your word. And so we've got to really pray that earnestly in our marriages, and saying, "Okay, God, as a husband, am I doing what I ought to do for my wife?"
As a wife, God, am I doing what I ought to do as a wife? God, as a father, am I doing what I ought to do for my children? As a mother, am I doing what I ought to do for my children? And so we've got to actually pray that and let God search us and try us and inspect us and clear out the wickedness and lead us in the right way when it comes to our spouses and our children. That is the only way really to do the will of God. Because if we do it our way is going to get us in trouble. It will. If we raise our children the way our parents raised us and all these other ways, that's going to get us in trouble. Now, what's wrong with raising our children the way our parents did?
Because maybe our parents weren't saved in the will of God.
Possibly they weren't saved. That's good. What else?
Parents aren't perfect. We need to be able to have our own. We need to have our own Bible, our own God, our own faith, mm-hmm. our own love for our children. Our children are different than we were.
Mm-hmm.
So, because my parents were married, but now my wife and I are married, totally different parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so totally different structure of child rearing. It's different all the
way. Amen. And Brad hit the nail on the head. The way our parents raised us might have been awesome. Might have been great. The problem with that, those parents are not me. I am me, and I have a certain makeup that has made me this way. And so I cannot raise my children the way my parents raised me, because I'm not them. I'm me. And I've got to raise them according to what God has given me. Yes, Carmen.
Yeah, I was going to say, God has a specific plan
mm-hmm.
for us and our children.
Right. And we fall into a trap if we say, well, it worked for my parents. But that was your parents. This is you. The different time, a different era, different everything, same Bible, same God, same principles. Yes.
And you're bringing in, like, Brad and I aren't exactly the same personality. So the way his parents raised him and his brothers and sisters wouldn't work for the same way like my parents raised me and my brothers and sisters. But because now our kids are a blend of both of us, we have to change some things that they did.
So amen.
We can raise our kids for their personality. Some kids, they work better if you spank them, and some kids work better if you sit them down and have them detention or something,
Amen. And well spoken. I mean, because Carmen didn't give me any spankings. She didn't need any spankings. I mean, you scold her, and she was like, oh. My dad could scold me all the time. I said, yeah, keep scolding, buddy. Man, he lit me up. He's like, okay, yes, sir. And so spankings, I needed spanking. You scold me, it'd be like, water off a duck's back. It's like, okay, give me some more of that, buddy. And so everybody is so different. I just get in there, after that, well, I'm glad that's over. All right, let me get back to my sin. But man, I mean, hey, if they would light me up, and like, ooh, they lit me up. I'm like, okay, you couldn't scold me and get away with it. Everybody is so different, and so we cannot raise our children the way our parents raised us and be successful, because we have the Word of God that we have to ingest and live it out in our lives and raise them the way God would have us to raise them based upon His Word and our understanding of the Word of God, okay? And so any other way is not going to work, amen? Come down here to that next one. It says, God is our spiritual goldsmith who through all kinds of trials brings our sins and spiritual weaknesses to the surface so we can confess them and let Him skim them out of our lives, amen? Why should God use trials in our marriages? Why can't He use some other way? Why trials? He said, God is our spiritual goldsmith who, through all kinds of trials, brings our sins and spiritual weakness to the surface so we can confess them and let Him skin them off. Why use trials? Why? Give me another way, God. Why does it have to be trials? Why hardships?
So maybe we can be more closer to God or pay attention to Him more instead.
Okay, amen. Yes?
Because without affliction, we go in our own direction.
Right.
There you go. Before I was afflicted, I went, sometimes affliction is the only way to get us right, right?
Yeah, that was going to say, that's the only thing that's working.
Go back in your marriages. When have you prayed the hardest for your marriage?
When you have problems, trials.
There you go.
Right.
Falls afflicted, I went astray. Now I kept that word. When the going is good in your marriage, you're like, hey, the going is good. Da, da, da. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Da, 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 da. Hey. Then a problem comes up. Oh, God, oh, Lord, I need you. Help, help, help. Oh, the finances, oh, jealousy, oh, anger, oh, pride, oh, And we get to praying. Normally it's not until the afflictions come that we seek out God. Think about David, some of the best prayers of David when he was going through affliction. So it is in narrative. So when you look at this, the trials that we go through, that's what happens. You know, think about it. Heat cooks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Heat cooks. I mean, microwave, I mean, really quick. Heat cooks things. And so when you look at the first two aspects of the marriage, it's to direct us. And second, problems in marriage may be to inspect us. And then thirdly, we'll look at this next time, they could be to correct us. And by the way, you know, when you look at correction, God is not trying to be mean to us. Mm-hmm. He's actually just trying to help us. Mm-hmm. Think about your children. When you scold your children, you're trying to help them. You're trying to correct them. What frustrates you most about your child when you're trying to correct them?
Talking back?
Resistance.
Yeah.
You're trying to correct them like, I didn't do that. I'm not wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, why this time? Why this way? My teacher said. You know, I mean, you come up here, it's like resistance. You hate resistance.
Yeah.
We ought to be pliable in God's hands, yes.
I have two, Stephen and Shane. When I talk to Stephen, he's more calm. And he's so quiet and he doesn't say any back to me. But Shane, he got more like, he got this mouth that he always think that, you know, well, I'm a, you know, parents provoke not your child, something like that.
Okay.
And then if I told him something, I would sit down and talk to him, and he started talking back at me. This is back then when he was, you know, middle school, and he thinks he can do whatever he wants. So, and then he would call his brother, and Stephen said, if I were you, Shane, just don't say a word, don't talk to mom. So, and then we sit down and kept on talking, and I would show him the Bible verse. And he realized and he said, apologize, I'm sorry, mom. And, you know, Stephen would tell him something that what the most mom hate, that when you, she told you something and you disobey and try to avoid it and don't say a word, because, you know, you're gonna get, you know, grounded and something like that. And he don't like to be grounded.
Amen.
Yeah, so. And then he would not go with his dad because he knows his dad and he doesn't come to church. And he always come up, you know, tell me, or his big brother, Stephen.
Amen.
So Stephen's always writing, you know, tell him something that, you know, what, remember what the Bible say, you know, mom, it might not be right all the time, but so but now he's a lot more that he, because he's here in the church most of the time and he's reading his Bible every day. And one time that he told me about in the book of Proverbs that, so mom, it means like, if I don't do this, if I disobey, and so it means like, you know, when the child, you know, do bad, it brings the mother shame. I said, yeah.
Amen, amen.
So
good.
He's really more up, you know, now he's into his accountable
good.
About his Bible starting reading, so.
That is a blessing. That's a good verse to memorize, too. Speaking of memorizing, Psalm 139, we're going to memorize verses 23 and 24. And that's, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way, may lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Let's do both of those verses. And let's pray those to God and ask him to search our marriages and to search us in regards to the marriage. And what can we better do as a husband or as a wife? For our marriage, and then let God inspect, and then let God direct, as we just looked at here in these last first two questions, directing us and inspecting us. Ask God to direct us, ask God to inspect us. What does he find as a husband, as a wife, and then lead me in the way that I ought to go, okay? And I'll leave you with this question as well. We're going to talk about, in the next section, Jonah being asleep. In what ways can we be spiritually asleep in our marriages? In what way can we be spiritually asleep in our marriages? Think about that question this week as you pray Psalm 139, 23 and 24. In what ways can I be spiritually asleep in my marriage? Because we can be. We can be. Father, thank you so much for the discussion today. Lord, thank you that you do give us trials in our marriages to inspect us and direct us. And Lord, we're like tea bags. We want to make sure that what comes out is pleasing to thy sight. Lord, it's a sweet savor to thee, a sweet taste to you, and a sweet taste to us in our marriages. Lord, help us to consciously and courageously pray, knowing that you are the great inspector from on high. Lord, you're trying to inspect our marriages to provide and to produce that in us, which is going to glorify thee. Lord, tests are the way and trials are the way that you perfect us. So Lord, help us to do that. Thank you for our guest today, Tim, and we pray that he'll enjoy the services today as he heads back to California. We thank you so much for loving us. Bless our refreshments that we have next door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 for next week.
She has a beginning.
Oh, I
brought
it. Time.
She's been nursing me back to health, so she's done most of it.
23
and 24, yes. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts.
I love this weather. Praise God.